all across America and around the world. This is Veterans Radio.
This is Veterans Radio.
And welcome to Veterans Radio. I am Jim Fossone with VeteransRadio.net. We are recording today from the Legal Help for Veterans studio in Northville, Michigan. Legal Help for Veterans is a veterans disability law firm. You can reach us at 800-693-4800. We want to welcome to Veterans Radio today Lieutenant Christina Collazo with the United States Navy. Lieutenant, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Thank you for having me.
Well, it's a great honor for us to have an active duty Navy nurse talking to us. Let's start with this. Tell us a little bit about where you grew up and your background and what got you into the Navy.
Sure. So I've grown up as a Navy brat. Was raised mostly in Japan and Hawaii. My dad was in the Navy for about 32 years. And during that time, we actually didn't do much traveling. We just went between Japan and Hawaii. And from there, I got to experience a little bit of the, not just being a Navy dependent, but I also did time as a student at NJROTC. After that, I kind of realized, you know, this is something I want to do when I graduate. So I decided to join in 2007. And I did what's called the Navy Nurse Candidate Program, which paid for my last 2 years of school. And from there, I commissioned in 2009. And the beautiful thing was my dad was retiring in 2009 after 32 years. And so it was kind of like passing the baton where he was retiring and he commissioned me to become an ensign. So it was really nice.
Oh, that's wonderful. A great family and service connection for the country. But let's back up a little bit, because I don't think I've ever had anybody explain to our Veterans Radio listeners, Lieutenant Christina Collazo, what the Navy Nurse Candidate Program is about.
Oh, yeah. So it's pretty much a scholarship. And you can choose. I don't know if things have changed since when I joined, but when I joined back in 2007, it was you apply for the scholarship through the Navy, and you get selected. It was a pretty competitive program at the time, and I think it still is pretty competitive. And back when I was going through the scholarship, the program, I had to just maintain a 3.0, get accepted into the nursing school. And obviously after I graduated, I needed to take my board, which is known as the NCLEX. Once all that was completed, then I commissioned. So for me, it was in 2009. And what they do is they pay for the last 2 years of your nursing school, at any university that you're attending. And then, you also receive like a monthly stipend.
So,
while you're attending school.
So is this program part of a ROTC program that you were in? And where did you do your undergraduate and nursing school?
So I did my undergraduate at Hawaii Pacific University. And it was not an ROTC program. So this is completely separate from ROTC. It's just a scholarship. I don't believe it has a connection with the NROTC.
Well, it's really important because you hear a lot of potential nursing students talk about the challenge of getting into a nursing school, but also the cost associated with it. And I think it's good for them to know, or their parents or others who might be listening to Veterans Radio, that there may be a way to pay for a couple of years of nursing school through this kind of scholarship that the Navy has. So thanks for giving us some of that information. When you were in nursing school, did you know exactly the type of nursing you wanted to do, or was it sort of, okay, I'm going to be a freshly minted nurse, the Navy's going to send me wherever the Navy sends me, and I'm going to figure out what kind of nursing I want to do?
Well, I knew for a very long time that I wanted to care for children. I did a lot of volunteer work in Hawaii. I did some volunteer time at Shriners Hospital in Hawaii. And I also volunteered at the Children's Hospital there. And I don't know, something about the pediatric population, I just felt very drawn to caring for them. And so when I was in nursing school, I knew that's what I wanted to do. I guess that was just, you know, something that I've always wanted to do. And I couldn't think of any other specialty that I wanted to do while I was in nursing school.
Well, it's sort of interesting because that wouldn't be the type of nursing that would come to mind to maybe somebody out in the civilian world about, well, what do Navy nurses do? So talk to us a little bit about your duty assignments over the last, I guess we're at 10-year point now, that have intersected with that passion.
Yeah, so I started off, so just to kind of go over my duty stations, I've been to Yokosuka, Japan 2 times. It was my first duty station and my third duty station. And then in between that, I was at Naval Medical Center San Diego. And my current duty station is over here at University of Michigan. But to just kind of go back, I was not very lucky in the beginning to get pediatrics off the bat. Going overseas as my first duty station is not very common for a brand new nurse. Usually they like to send brand new nurses to like a larger hospital, such as Naval Medical Center San Diego or at Bethesda, or Portsmouth, or now Lejeune. So I got kind of lucky to go overseas as my first duty station, but I think the challenges that came with that was not only trying to learn to be a new nurse, but I was also learning to be a new officer. And to be at a smaller hospital, it was kind of hard because you just didn't get that type of experience. I was assigned to the labor and delivery unit, or what we call maternal intake unit, where we take care of pregnant ladies. We deliver them, and we actually had what's called a nursery, where we took care of the newborns, and we did postpartum, where after they delivered, we would care for them. So we were kind of a jack of all trades in that area. And to be quite honest, I was not very excited to go to labor and delivery. It was my weakest in nursing school. I didn't do very well in some of the classes. I mean, I passed. However, I always felt that it was a challenging specialty to learn. And because I was so focused on pediatrics, you know, it was very hard for me to accept any other type of specialty. And I think the biggest thing I learned from that experience is that even though I was, you know, unhappy at the time, and I understood that the Navy's mission always came first, I still made it work. And I found where my passion was, which was caring for children. And even though I worked on a labor and delivery unit, there's still children there. So I found ways to kind of dig into that passion and actually strive in it, because I knew where I wanted to be in the end goal, which was to be a pediatric nurse practitioner. And instead of, you know, being unhappy and sad, I took it as, this is a great experience and this is somewhere where I can learn. Like, you grow where you're planted.
Isn't that one of life lessons? Again, you got an overseas assignment on the first duty rotation, which isn't normal. You got into a smaller hospital than maybe you wanted. You got less experience on a particular area, but you've got to, I think we all learn this, and I think the military teaches you this. You have to thrive whatever you're assigned at, as you say, grow wherever you're planted. So was that natural for you, or did that take some time to say, hey, buck up, let's do this?
I would say, just to answer your question, I think being young at that time, you know, being 21, I think it came with a lot of maturity, and I had great mentors. You know, my family, my father was a great mentor. It was a good learning point. I felt like I've grown so much, and looking back 10 years, from where I started, I'm actually very grateful I started where I started. Everybody understands it's always the Navy's mission first, but you don't understand it until you're actually placed in that situation. And I would just say I've been blessed with those experiences because it's made me who I am today. And as a future nurse, pediatric nurse practitioner, I have to know where they come from. And if I don't know how they come into this world, it kind of defeats everything that, I'm practicing and learning about. So really, I am truly thankful from where I started, because it just makes me that much better today.
Well, we're talking to Lieutenant Navy Christina Collazo, who's also been selected for Lieutenant Commander, so congratulations on that, who is also a new mother. So all of this brilliant insight she's giving us is a result of all of these life experiences over the last 10 years or so. You moved on to San Diego Naval Medical Center. Tell us a little bit about that assignment.
It was actually amazing. San Diego is truly an amazing place, and the command itself was also very amazing. I went to labor and delivery there as well. It was a little bit more higher risk, so I kind of got some critical care skills there, just because caring for mothers that were a little bit more ill than your typical, moms that deliver normally with no issues. So I did my time there, and I also was lucky enough to get some time in the pediatric ICU my last year there. And I also got to do some time on the neonatal ICU. So it was really a good experience, higher acuity, definitely a place to learn and grow from.
As you talk to your other colleagues who graduated nursing school at the same time and maybe went into the civilian world, how do you judge your growth and experience levels in those early years, the 5, 6, 7 years of nursing compared to what you saw elsewhere?
I would say the biggest challenge is being a Navy nurse compared to a civilian nurse. I've always been told that, when we wear a uniform, we have two insignias. We have our rank as a naval officer, and we also have our insignias for the Navy Nurse Corps. So we actually have two jobs, and so I felt that the hardest thing in the beginning was learning how to balance as a nurse and trying to be a leader at the same time at such a young age. My corpsmen at the time were also the same age around me, so I felt that it was very challenging coming into such a structured world versus in the civilian sector. It would be a little bit more, I guess, relaxed, I would say, where we're all kind of the same. I mean, at the end, we're all the same. However, there's that fine line where you have to take on the leadership role. So I would say one of the best advice I got was from my father, who said that when you are starting off, you want to take those collaterals that nobody wants. You want to take that job that nobody wants, because you want to show that you're competitive and you can take on any task that's handed to you. So from the get-go, I always try to challenge myself, and I think that having that mentality really helped me when I applied for the scholarship to attend University of Michigan. I would say there's a lot of growth there.
Well, I want to, before we move on to your current assignment, I want to back up again to your second tour in Japan, because, the old saying goes, join the Navy, see the world. And you were in Japan during really historic times, the tragedy resulting from the earthquake and massive tsunami in Japan that damaged a nuclear power plant. Can you give us a little firsthand impressions of what that being in the center of all that was about, and both for you individually as a naval officer and as a nurse working on labor and delivery?
That was back actually. We're coming up on the anniversary here pretty soon. It was March 11th. So during that time, I was there. So I actually grew up a lot of my time in Yokosuka, Japan. So me going back the third time was kind of going back home in a sense. So just experiencing that earthquake was, I was living by myself at the time, and it was very scary. It was after a night shift. I remember that morning my friend and I were just hanging out, having lunch, went home around lunchtime, and I finally had just gone to sleep. So those of you who work night shifts, you know your days are just very skewed. But it was around 2 o'clock. I was woken up by this enormous jolt, and the cars going, the alarms going off on the cars, and people just screaming outside of my apartment. And I was a little discombobulated just because I had just woken up and I couldn't understand what was going on. But I would just say it was terrifying. I didn't know really what to do because I was by myself at the time. I had called my family, and the first thing that came to mind was I need to go to my command, because if there's like a mass casualty going on, I needed to be there. So that was the first thing that came to mind. I remember just throwing whatever essentials into my bag, and I lived about a mile and a half away. I lived off base. I lived a mile and a half away from the hospital on the base, so I ran probably my fastest 1.5 mile in my life, because I understood Japanese. That's my first language. I remember turning on the news, and there was a picture of Japan, and there was just red lines outlying, which is like a sign of tsunami. Like there's tsunami warnings. So I understood that. I didn't know when it was coming. In hindsight, I probably should just stay home. But honestly, it was adrenaline. I just remember running from my apartment to the hospital, and everybody was taking mustard outside the hospital, and they're like, "Oh, and Colazo, did you get called in?" And I was like, "No, there's a tsunami coming. I'm not waiting outside. I'm actually going upstairs to higher ground." And they were like, "What tsunami?" And the alarm went off on base, and I think that's when everybody realized we needed to go to higher ground. But I just remember being there, being terrified, but was comforted by my colleagues that were also there. But just from like a nurse, a Navy officer standpoint, I think the big thing was I was still ensign. I was an ensign at the time. Actually, this has been my first duty station. What we did really was just organize and made sure that all our patients were taken care of, just because of the uncertainty of the nuclear, the radiation. So I remember coming in on my off time and calling in patients and getting them ready for transfer and organizing their medical records so they were prepared to go out. Luckily, we weren't hit as hard where we were at. However, just the fear and the aftershocks, I think dealing with a lot of that and providing comfort to each other was probably the biggest thing during that time.
Yeah, absolutely. I would have to think that the fear factor and the particularly anything dealing with nuclear radiation and what that might all mean just had to have a lot of impact on the civilian population as well as the military population, mm-hmm. and family members as do we stay? Do we go? What do we do? So
right.
quite an experience to live through, and certainly a set of experiences that in future casualty events you'll be drawing on, I'm sure.
Oh, yes, definitely.
So let's talk now about what you're currently doing, because this is a very interesting aspect of how the Navy is investing in you to work on a pediatric nurse practitioner doctorate in nursing practice degree, if I've got it right. That's a mouthful. Yeah. Is that about right?
Yes. There's definitely a lot of acronyms in the nursing, so yes.
And you got selected to go to the University of Michigan School of Nursing for this, what they call DNP, doctorate in nursing practice program. Tell us a little bit about what the education and training is about and how you anticipate applying it as a Navy nurse.
Yes. So I applied, just to kind of give a quick rundown of how I got there. So I applied for what's called DUINS, which is Duty Under Instruction, which is pretty much like a scholarship program for those that are already in the service and they want to pursue further advancements in nursing. So, like, if you wanted to be a nurse anesthetist, a family nurse practitioner, a midwife, you know, those are that's a program that you can apply for every year. It's very limited. The numbers change every year on how much they need. So I applied for the pediatric nurse practitioner program and got selected. At the time, I believe there were 6 openings and 4 of us applied and all 4 of us got selected. Pediatric nurse practitioner is one of the rare ones that still can go outside to the civilian university. Most of the other ones go through what's called USIS, which is a military university. So I would say I applied for the acute care nurse practitioner program, and I wanted to kind of expand my horizon a little bit. I saw where the Navy's needs were. Acute care is taking care of critically ill patients, and then there was a primary care, which is more of like your typical clinic visit nurse practitioners. So I presented an idea to my program director at the university, and I asked if I could do what's called a dual degree, so I could be broad as much as possible. And so I remember getting approved for this new program. I like to call myself a guinea pig of the university just because this is a new program and I'm trying it out. So I'm doing both acute care pediatric and primary care pediatric on top of that with a doctor of nursing practice. And it's a little challenging. However, I hope that with this experience, here at the Children's Hospital, learning to care for children who come in for well-child visits and then those that come critically ill, I just hope that with having all that knowledge and being board certified that I'm able to use that knowledge to help children in the naval system.
So as part of this scholarship under, I think the acronym was DUIN, Duty Under Instruction Nursing, if I got it right, you then are committed to stay in the Navy for some additional period of time, I assume.
Yes, I can't remember exactly how much. It's like for every semester is a certain amount of months. I can't off the top of my head, but for me, because I'm going to school for 3 years, I owe about 5 to 6 years of active duty service after I'm done with school.
And you're about 10 years in, so you really have made yourself a commitment to a Navy career, I take it.
Yes, that is correct.
So talk to us there can't be a lot of doctors of nurse practitioners in the Navy. Talk to us about what you see after you graduate and pass your boards. What's the future look like for somebody with your set of educational experience as a nurse in the Navy?
They're definitely shifting towards having more what we call DMPs, not just in the Navy, but just in general in the nursing community. I would say the big thing with that degree is having the ability to do research and kind of taking nursing a step forward. So whether it be creating policies or, you know, coming up with guidelines, and there's just a lot that can come with having a doctorate in nursing practice, especially when it comes to the clinical realm where we're actually caring for patients. So I'm just hoping that with not just the DNP, but having the dual degree, that I can really help improve over time the pediatric nurse practitioner community and showing that we're very essential in the community and just, you know, that we can actually practice a lot broader than maybe we have been in the past. And, you know, it's just kind of exciting to take this experience that I'm gaining at University of Michigan and really bringing it to wherever I get stationed next, whether it be overseas or, you know, somewhere, well, they say CONUS, so in any of the states.
Well, it's an interesting movement forward for both nursing, and as some of the veteran radio listeners know, I'm married to a nurse, who was career military and had a great set of experiences. And you sort of grow through this, you know, being on the floor, being into administration, maybe commanding a unit or a hospital unit, moving on to maybe a policy standpoint, dealing with bigger issues. So it is part of that upward ladder for a military officer and certainly for a nurse in the military. And I guess you probably experience it more than most in that it's not just the Navy man or woman who's getting deployed or who has healthcare issues on their mind. It's their whole family, and certainly it's their kids. And to be most mm-hmm. ready to meet the Navy's mission, you've got to take care of the whole family, don't you?
Definitely.
And as you go forward here, is it your expectation that you will progress, if you will, up that sort of command structure in the medical fields?
Definitely. I feel like, you know, it kind of comes with the territory. You know, you go up in rank. They say we get further from the bedside. You know, we become more of that leader, which I'm okay with. And I'm actually looking forward to, because I feel that, you know, the junior nurses, you know, my enlisted that work in the hospital, I feel that they need that figure that they could look up to and be inspired and, you know, want to do better or even just take a similar path. I'm excited to further myself to get into that leadership role where I can provide changes to improve patient care, but at the same time, I don't want to say perfect, but be that role that's inspiring to others to realize you can be placed anywhere, but if you can remember where your passion is or where your drive in life is, no matter where you're placed, you can always grow and be better. You know, we always have people that are unhappy, that are separated from their family for the first time. So just really encompassing that family mentality from, you know, leadership and down. I just hope that if I'm placed in that position one day, that would be my ultimate goal. I feel like if we can bring everybody together, we can work together to get the mission accomplished. And I feel like in the medical field, that just goes from, you know, patient care to, you know, helping outside in the humanitarian world, like if we're overseas or if we're on the hospital ship. I feel like it just all comes together. So I'm actually looking forward to that and maybe even working on policies later on down the road to help improve nursing and patient care.
As our time for this interview comes to a close, Lieutenant Christina Collazo, I'm wondering if you have any thoughts that you might want to pass along to women and or nurses, student nurses who are thinking about a military or a Navy career?
I would say my biggest advice is if you're thinking about Navy nursing, it's definitely an amazing opportunity. It just provides you exposure just to everything in nursing and just being a leader as well. I would say the biggest thing is it's not for everybody, but it's a great experience. And the biggest thing is if you want to become a Navy nurse, you just have to be flexible and you have to understand the Navy's needs will always come first. However, that doesn't mean that you lose your drive and your passion. Just remember where you want to be and you just got to go up the ladder, take those steps, and you will eventually get there no matter what it is.
Well, we certainly appreciate you taking some time, Christina, today to talk to our Veteran Radio listeners. I know the University of Michigan School of Nursing is very proud of you, and I am as well as an alum of the University of Michigan. And I know Brigadier General Carol Ann Fausson, who's a alum of the School of Nursing at the University of Michigan, is very proud of you. Your mom and dad did a good job raising a good kid. I can tell by your comments that you look up tremendously to your father as a Navy officer, and I'm sure that's very rewarding for him as well. So thank you for your taking some time. Good luck in your studies with your newborn, and certainly enjoy this assignment, and there'll be many more interesting ones after it, it sounds like.
Yes, thank you. I really appreciate you having me on here.
And I want to thank everybody for listening to Veterans Radio today. I am Jim Fossone. It's been a pleasure to be your host. I'm a veterans disability lawyer at Legal Help for Veterans, and you can reach us at 800-693-4800 or legalhelpforveterans.com on the web. You can follow Veterans Radio on Facebook and listen to its podcasts and internet radio shows by going to veteransradio.net. And until next time, you are dismissed.
If you have a VA claim denied by the Board of Veterans Appeals, contact Legal Help for Veterans at 1-800-693-4800. They're experts in handling cases before the U.S. Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims. Their number again, 1-800-693-4800.